we battle and we see evidence on a daily basis right across the nation what is happening to our kids. We hear it. We hear about those grandmothers down in New South Wales that were broken. They're not now. They're quite a strong, empowered group fighting for the rights to bring their children back home. And what was in this report is, and McGooda said, it's an outcry, it's outrageous, and virtually a human rights issue. Because these kids, once you remove them and remove them from their community and their identity, as you would know, you are now starting to chip away every part of their well-being and the makeup of who they are in their community. These kids are removed. They're not placed with kin in inappropriate placements. And we're building another level of, what we've already have, is a stolen generation and a lot of lost souls. And we're in a generation down, going forward, we're going to have a worse predicament than what we did with the stolen generation, because it's increasing. It's getting worse.
Well, it says here, you know, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander children, 9.2 times, 9 times more likely to be in out-of-home care than all other cultural bases.
And then when you combine that with, we've got a massive increase of our women going into jail, and men are, escalated. We're in crisis when you look at the stats. But go back to what you just said, 9.2. We are talking about the most vulnerable group in society.
Yeah.
And their voices, we've got to be their voice now. We've got to stop this. We've got to bring them all back home and stop it escalating anymore. So it's quite serious.
So as far as SNAIC is concerned, though, then I know that there were 21 recommendations looking at the safety and well-being of First Nations children. Mm. What do you think are the ones that we all, governments included, need to be acting on right now?
I think they need to stop, look at what is happening for our children. I think, you know, some of the recommendations we need to seriously look at and take some guidance from a little bit of what's happening down in Victoria in terms of setting up Indigenous commissioners across the state and territory to be like the watchdog, but also to look at what are the things we need to do to prevent this from continuing on. And look at government policy and say it does not fit with the model of care that we need to make sure and what we do on the ground. So there's two different worlds. Our child rearing, our responsibility for kids, because mind you, I'm not debating there are kids that need to perhaps be taken out of their homes, but the big issue is, let the local community and the local knowledge sort this out.
Mm.
Get government to acknowledge their policies, their procedures, their framework in working in this area is not, it's actually a detriment to for our kids rather than the big overall, you know, the best interest, protecting our children. Because they do take them away, they're placing them inappropriately in some instance, or they're placing them out of home care and not within their local community or their families.
Mm.
So that's more of abuse than what is going on. Let's look at sorting out a better model of reducing those kids from even being taken off out of their community or off their families. How smart can we get it? So I think with SNAIC, one of the biggest push is keeping our kids in culture. That's one of the things, not in out-of-home care. Early intervention prevention, support that, local delivery of services, and keep kids in their culture. Because these kids that are coming out, they're taking them out, but whilst they're doing that, they're removing them from who they are, their identity, their sense of belonging, their well-being. And sadly, these kids, when they do come back, they are very, very, well, inverted commas, damaged children, because the model of protecting kids is not working in where they their placement. So I think if anything out of this is keep our kids safe in their community.
I mean, I know in New South Wales, the Department of Family and Community Services is pretty big, well, on paper, it's pretty big on for if a child needs to be taken from their immediate family environment and that child is an Aboriginal child, that they are put with near and next of kin. The whole kinship model is supposedly quite strong, but Grandmothers Against Removals have actually, through their actions, have highlighted that what actually happens in practice is not necessarily what we see on paper.
Well, what happens on the in the paper, like exactly what you said, there's absolutely some really good principles of keeping children within their community, within their family, and look at kinship care and all that. Fantastic. On the ground, it doesn't work. You're developing a fantastic model of care for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children, but as those grandmothers talk about, on the ground, it's not happening. These kids are still being placed in non-Indigenous families or placed in inappropriate families. And like anything, no matter how dysfunctional our families are, work with them, strengthen them, wrap around them, but keep the children in the, in their communities, because one day that family will get well. Things will improve. You just got to keep strengthening that family to keep those kids. Invest in that rather than invest in removal. Because the dividends is so much far better than taking kids out and working with a deficit model of you can't go back to your family, they're no good, you know, and then next minute kids are out in some unknown place.
300 kilometres away.
Yeah,
which is exactly. Which is what's been happening here. Kids have been sent 300, 400, 500, 600 kilometres to family, non-Indigenous families. There's no way they can ever get a chance of seeing any of their extended family anyway, even seeing them.
You know, we've got currently on Palm Island and we've got what we call a safe house. And so kids are removed. They usually be a white childcare officer in a plane flying out with the child to council or somewhere, you know, placed in an emergency non-Aboriginal foster carer and, you know, and mum, dad over here and the rest of the community saying, where are our children? Where they're gone. Now what we have is what we call a safe house. So children that need to be removed go to the safe house on Palm Island. Now that safe house, that model is 100% local employment by Indigenous. The whole model is familiar to the child. So when a child has to be removed, and I'd say there are cases where children have to, they're going into a familiar environment. They're still going to this school. They can still see the mountain behind them where they played. There's nothing foreign about it. Whereas we've had children taken off the island and never to be seen, because for the good of the child, they're best left over there, and that's where things all break down. So I think in going back to your question, I think the key other key points is invest in that early intervention prevention, keep kids in their culture, and adhere to the principles of the child placement principles, where keep your kids in the communities and invest in it. Invest in it, invest in it, because the long run, it will reduce kids coming in care. That's a simple model, but I believe keep our kids in their culture, things will be better.